This construction work is causing me a great deal of confusion. Normally, I can sit up here and glance over the audience and pretty well know who's here and who's not here because I know where everybody sits. But so many have changed. I never thought I'd see Carlton and Ruby Morton sitting over on this side. Just about everybody on these front seats over here normally are to sit over here. And so it's causing me a great deal of confusion, but you might suggest that I not blame my confusion on that. It's probably because of some other reason. We're just glad that you are here. Might even be some good in sitting in some other sections of the auditorium. You might learn some people that you didn't know were here. And so out of this may come some good as well as some confusion. Tonight I want us to think for a few minutes about the first sin. You and I are tempted. We make mistakes. We're all guilty of sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 1 John 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We have problems with sin. But the first people that were on the earth had problems with sin. In fact, they brought sin into existence, and separation from God came because of that, and that death is passed unto all because all sinned. And I believe that we can learn something by going back and thinking a little bit about the first sin. In Genesis 2:15-17, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, and man here seems to be used to include both Adam and Eve, commanded the man and said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then Tom read the first 6 verses of the 3rd chapter that tells us about what happened. When the serpent came upon the scene and had the conversation with Eve that resulted in her yielding to the temptation, also giving to her husband and his yielding to the temptation. Sin came upon the scene. What kind of sin was that? We classify sin in different ways. There are different ways to look at it. It seems to me that there are basically 3 different types of sin, at least in looking at it from the classification that we're giving tonight. There is what's called a presumptuous sin. David prayed in Psalms 19, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. And in talking about evil people, in 2 Corinthians 2:10, he said, among other things, presumptuous are they, self-willed. The idea of a presumptuous sin seems to be the idea of a person planning ahead to sin, planning to do what he knows is wrong, being presumptuous with the will of God and just sort of saying, I'm going to do what I want to. I don't really care what God has said. I suppose that those described in Romans 1 would be guilty of presumptuous sins because it says that they, knowing what was involved, not only were involved in sin but took pleasure in seeing others involved in sin. They were presumptuous about sin. I doubt that many of us would be guilty of that kind of sin. I would just doubt that there's anybody here tonight who is going to sit down and draw up a blueprint to sin and say, I'm just going to plan this in detail and I'm going to be presumptuous about it and I'm going to do it. I doubt that we would be guilty of that, and I don't believe Eve was guilty of that kind of sin or that Adam was. I don't think they just sat down on that day and said, we're going to work out a plan and we're going to sin today. I don't think that's what happened. A second type of sin is the sin of ignorance. In the second sermon that Peter preached in Acts 3, he accused the people of ignorantly crucifying Christ. And even Jesus prayed for them and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Evidently, many of those that were involved in the crucifixion of Christ were not aware of all the information that they would have needed to truly understand who Christ was. And so it is said that they sinned out of ignorance. In Romans 10 and verse 3, Paul describes some people who were ignorant of God's righteousness and who went about to set up their own righteousness. And so it is possible for people to sin out of ignorance. And more people may be doing that because more and more people are ignorant of God's word today, at least it seems to me, than any time in my lifetime. But here again, I don't think that was Eve's problem. And I don't really think that's the basic problem that you and I have today as far as sin is concerned. I'm not really overly concerned about what I don't know. Although there are many things that I don't know, and I'm sure there are some things about sin that I don't know. It's possible for you and me to be ignorant of some things. It's possible for us to not have all the facts involved, and we might make mistakes because we didn't have certain facts relative to that set of circumstances. But generally speaking, you and I don't make mistakes out of ignorance. Is there a place on earth where more gospel has been taught than Henderson, Tennessee for the last 100 years? I doubt that there is. Most of us, the students at the university, those of us that are local people, we've heard the gospel preached over and over and over, and I think we are blessed in this area in that the majority of preachers, almost without exception, will preach the word of God straight down the line, and the elders of the churches in this area want the word of God preached. They do not want us to try to avoid speaking on sin. Try to stay out of areas where we need to discuss God's word. All the encouragement that I've had in my work with the church here has been to preach the word. Preach it with kindness and love, yes. And certainly all of us need to think about our approach and the timing of things. But we are a people who live in an area where God's word is taught on a daily basis, where people who are teaching it have studied it and know what's involved in the Word of God and know how to present it in a way that I just don't think many of us can ever claim ignorance as the problem when it comes to sin. Adam and Eve were not ignorant of what God had said. The third type of sin that I would suggest in this classification is the sin of weakness. Maybe described somewhat by Jesus when he was talking to his apostles there after he'd come back from praying. And he said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now you just think about all of us that are here tonight. Don't you think that most of us, maybe all of us that are here, really want to do what's right? We have the attitude of wanting to do what God has said. Down deep, at least, we really want to be right. We really want to do what's good. We really want to do what's best. And yet we make a lot of mistakes. I believe it is more out of the fact that the flesh is weak, and that our mistakes that we make are more out of that category than the other two. Now I want you to go back with me for just a moment and look at the first sin. And then let's come back to ourselves and look at how the principles apply to us. Adam and Eve were not ignorant of the source of the information that they had. Genesis 2 says, "God said." When Satan was talking with Eve, he said, "Hath not God said?" And then Eve, in her answer, at least once says, "God said." They were not ignorant of the source of the information about what would constitute sin. They knew where the source was. And they knew God in a sense that no one else has ever known him. in his presence in the Garden of Eden, associated with him at a time that sin had not come upon the scene. They had heard the word of God. He had instructed them. They knew from whence the instruction had come, and they were not ignorant of the source. In the second place, Eve and Adam were not ignorant of the details of the information. God said, gave them the instructions, and he explained it in a way that he didn't need an interpreter. He said, now here are the trees in the Garden of Eden, and you can eat of all of them except one. But when you eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, which means that they probably didn't know everything about good and evil at that point, but they knew that the details were being given. He said, when you eat of that specific tree, you're going to die. In the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. How do we know that they knew the details? We'll go back to the conversation between serpent and Eve. Did God say that you shouldn't eat of that tree? Did God say that in the day you eat of it, you'll surely die? He asked it sort of in a question, hath not God said? Eve said, yes, that's exactly what he said. He said that we were not to eat of that tree. And then Satan began to reason with her and began to come and attack what we were calling weakness a few minutes ago. He used the same three types of temptation that were used against Jesus in the wilderness and that are mentioned in 1 John 2 as being the way we are tempted today. He said, look at it. She looked at it, and it was pleasing to the eye. He got her to think about it. And she began to think it would be good to eat. It would taste good. Be good to eat. And he said, now listen, really God is trying to trick you here, because if you do eat of this fruit, you're going to be like God. You'll be able to be like him and know all the things that are good and evil. And he's just trying to keep you from being like him. And so she evidently began to reason. Well, I can be like God if I eat this. Looks good. I believe it would taste good. And look at the pride and the power and the glory that I could have. She didn't take of that fruit out of ignorance. It was out of weakness. Because she knew and even repeated to the serpent the details that God had given. Number three, she was not ignorant of the results. God does a good job when he tells us about something of explaining it to us in a way that we know what's going to happen if we do certain things or don't do certain things. And he began back there with Adam and Eve. He said, here are the commandments I'm giving you. And by the way, and this is a lesson for another time, he gave them positive commandments to dress and keep the garden, and he gave them the negative commandment not to eat of the tree. He says, now here are the commandments that I want to tell you about. Here's what I want you to do, and here's what I want you not to do. And let me tell you, if you do it, you're going to die. In the very day that you eat of it, you're going to die. And we don't have to question whether or not Eve understood that. We would assume that Adam did too, but at least Eve says, yes, that's what God said. The devil said, you shall not surely die, just added one word, as you've heard so many times. Quoted what God had said and just changed one word in it and said, you shall not surely die. Eve was not ignorant of the results. God had told them ahead of time, here's what's going to happen if you violate my will. Eve was not ignorant of the source. She was not ignorant of the details, and she was not ignorant of the results. Now let's bring those three points over into our lives today. I suggest to you that we are not ignorant of the source of the instruction that is given concerning sin. I would guess without exception, were I to stand at the door tonight as you left and ask, do you believe in God? You would say yes. Do you believe that this book is God's word? Yes. In other words, you believe that all the instruction that's in this book is from God, the source. Yes. I think we do. We are not ignorant of the source of the instruction concerning sin. We believe in God, we believe in His word as being His word, and we would admit that. So we are not ignorant of the source. We're told that we should not be ignorant of God in 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. It's a verse that says, with God a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. But it says in that verse that we're not ignorant of Him. And I believe that's true. We are not ignorant of God. If anybody anywhere ought to believe that God is, we ought to, even as we see Him declared in nature and as we hear Him declared from the Word of God and the teaching that we hear so much. We are not ignorant of the source of the instructions concerning sin. I further suggest to you that we are not ignorant of the details of what God has told us to do. There are several places through the Bible that mention sin, but let me just share with you two or three of them. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 mentions adultery, fornication, idolatry, effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. The New King James translates that homosexuals and sodomites. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And then if we turn on over to Galatians, the 5th chapter, which gives us the fruits of the Spirit, and then right after that gives us the works of the flesh, or really before it, the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, there may be one or two of those in some of the translations that we would have to look up to really get the meaning, but most of those are pretty clear. We understand what hatred means. We understand wrath, envying, murders, drunkenness. Revelation 21, verse 8, he says, the murderers, the abominable, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Think about how much lying has been discussed in the last few years. Is it out of ignorance? Don't think so. And I left out the first two in that list, the fearful and unbelieving. These are the ones, he says, that will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, there's no ignorance involved in that idea there. He says we know that we're to do good, and yet we don't do it. It's not ignorance of the details. And you read Matthew 25, the discussion about the sheep and the goats, giving food and water to someone, visiting someone who's in prison or sick, giving clothing to someone who is in need. Is there one of us here tonight who's ignorant of those details? I don't think so. I think every one of us knows that we ought to be about the Lord's business in doing good to other people as we have opportunity. And I believe every one of us, for example, tonight, knows that it is wrong to lie. We know the details that are there. The details have been given. But many times, I've had the experience of someone saying, yes, I know the Bible says that, but. And when someone makes a statement and puts that word but at that place, you can rest assured that what he's about to say is that I'm going to do what I want to do. I know the Bible says that, but. Now, how many sins are there that you and I might commit this week that would be out of ignorance? Oh, there might be some specific circumstances, as I said, where we don't have all the details, and we might do something not realizing all that's involved, but generally speaking, we don't make mistakes out of ignorance. And then there's the third point. Eve was not ignorant of the results of sin. Are you and I ignorant of the results of sin? Back to that passage there in 1 Corinthians 6. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Matthew 25:46, it ends that passage we were talking about. The righteous shall go away into everlasting life and the unrighteous into everlasting punishment. God has told us. He has instructed us. He has clearly given us the results. He says the righteous are going to be saved and the unrighteous are going to be lost. If you live like this, you can be saved. If you live like this, you can be lost. We're not ignorant of that. We've heard it over and over again. In Romans, the first chapter, passage to which we referred a few minutes ago, the 32nd verse said, after giving a list of maybe 20 different types of sin, who knowing the judgment of God, now listen to that, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Those folks weren't doing that out of ignorance. And many of the sins today that are going across this country are sins which people know something about what the Bible says. They just will not accept what the Bible teaches relative to the plan of salvation. More than once, I've had someone say to me when we'd be studying, for example, the necessity of baptism, passage like Mark 16:16. One particular case comes to mind as I think about this, where he said, I know that's what the Bible says, but I still believe that I was saved without it. Now, folks, that's not ignorance. That's weakness, maybe connected with a little stubbornness and a lot of stupidity. And that's where we get into problems. It's not ignorance. We know. We know the source. We know the details. And we know the results. And still, we make many mistakes because we have the same type of weakness that Eve had and that Adam had. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and verse 11, there's a rather interesting statement. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I don't believe our problem is ignorance. Our problem is weakness. And what we don't know doesn't bother me as much as what we know and don't do. We know the source, we know the details, and we know the results. Eve saw, she listened to what God said, and she still sinned. She knew better. She knew what God had said, and she still sinned. And you and I are faced with the same problem today. Let us out of this tonight determine that we're going to try to meet the challenge to do what we know is right and to stay away from what we know is wrong. I think again and say to you again that I don't believe the biggest problem in the church today is ignorance. I believe it is that we just don't think. That's weakness. We just don't stop and think. Really think about who God is and what he's said and what he's told us. But we've got to turn this around and go back and really believe the source and listen to the source for the details and realize what can happen if we don't. She was not ignorant of the source. She knew God. So do we. She was not ignorant of the details. She knew what he'd said. I believe we do. And she was not ignorant of the results. He had told her, and he's told us. He has said, if you and I will live for him, we can go to heaven. If we don't, we'll be lost. That's how simple it is. We're not ignorant of that. And therefore, we ought to take advantage of the opportunity to live for God. Whatever our sins are, we can receive forgiveness. That's the good news. Even our sins that we commit out of weakness, we can receive forgiveness and we can find strength in God and with the help of one another to do better. But in order to take advantage of the forgiveness of God and that relative to our sins, we've got to make contact with the blood of Christ. And the only way I know to do that is to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, where the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all past sins. And I don't believe we're ignorant of what the Bible teaches on that subject. I think if we really sit down and look at God's Word, we can see the necessity of belief. Except you believe that I'm He, you shall die in your sins, John 8:21 and 24. We can see the need of repentance. We can see the commandment of confession. We can see again and again that at the point of baptism, not power in the water, power in the blood, but in obedience to God, being baptized into Christ, we can receive the forgiveness of our sins. And that blood keeps on cleansing our sins, 1 John 1:7. If we'll walk in the light and follow Him and hold on to Him as penitent believers. Folks, what I'm appealing to all of us, you and me both, is to do what we know. Our problem is not ignorance. To do what we know in becoming Christians and living the Christian life. And if you know you have not done what God requires, do it right now as together we stand and sing.